الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على عبده محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, we continue with the wonderful work of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah رحمه الله تعالى with the Sharh of Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen on the names and attributes of Allah تبارك وتعالى. And in our last session, we had already discussed initiated the discussion on the fact that the Quran هو يا محمد دقيقة. We said القرآن هو محمد, القرآن هو كلام الله, أيوة حق. يا سلام عليك يا إبراهيم, ما شاء الله عليك يا حق. كلام الله
نزل
منزل
كلام الله منزل.
إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. مصيبة والله. Did I not say, يا جماعة الخير, study this single brief explanation of the book of Allah. منزل غير عربي, غير
مخلوق.
مخلوق
غير مخلوق.
نعم نعم. منه ايش؟ نعم منه
بدأ ساتر.
ايوة مبروك. ايوة و
بدأ
وإليه
يعود.
طيب, this is the last time inshallah I'm gonna ask this question and get no answers. Everyone should have this memorized in Arabic. I mentioned it clearly yesterday. I maybe repeated it 1500 times. No, I'm exaggerating. I repeated it many times. Al-Quran huwa kalamullah. It's the speech of Allah. Kalamullah, the speech of Allah. We gave the evidence. Munazzal, it is sent down. Ghayru makhluq, it is uncreated. It is not created. Minhu bada, from Allah it came, it began. Wa ilayhi ya'ud, and to Allah it will return. Al-Quran, four qualities. Kalamullah, afwan, five. Kalamullah, munazzal, ghayru makhluq, minhu bada, wa ilayhi ya'ud. Sah? Tayyib. Now we gave an evidence for each. Those who missed it, missed it. But it's available on audio, MP3 file, so you can always make it up, inshallah. Now we had stopped at the statement of the Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah, وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَكَلَّمَ بِهِ حَقِيقَةً, and that Allah spoke the Quran in truth. He spoke, He said what we read in the Quran in truth. بناء على الأصل أن جميع الصفات حقيقية. This is based on the fundamental principle that every attribute of Allah is real. They are real. They're not figurative. They're not symbolic. They are real as they are described in the Quran and the Sunnah. وَإِذَا كَانَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ حَقِيقًا فَلَا يُمْكِنْ أَنْ يَكُونَ مَخْلُوقًا. If the speech of Allah is real, true, then it cannot be created. لِأَنَّهُ صِفَةُ, because it's the attribute of Allah. وَصِفَةُ الْخَالِقِ غَيْرُ مَخْلُوقًا. Every attribute of Allah is uncreated also. Do we say Allah created rahmah? The quality of rahmah in Him, Allah created it, then attached it. What are you going to say? Allah is Ar-Rahman. This is part of Allah. This is يعني as in the equality of Allah. Allah didn't, and speech, the Quran is the speech of Allah, and the speech of Allah is not created because it's an attribute of Allah Tabaraka wa Taala. كما أن صفة المخلوق مخلوقة. So our qualities are created because we are created. The qualities of the Creator are uncreated because He is uncreated. صح؟ Common sense. We are the creation. Our qualities are created. The Creator's qualities are also uncreated because He's the Creator. They're just part of, they're just Allah. Allah Azza wa Jalla has these as names and attributes. They're not created. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَالَ الْإِمَامُ أَحْمَدُ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ وَقَدْ قَالَ الْإِمَامُ أَحْمَدُ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ مَنْ قَالَ لفظي بالقرآن مخلوق فهو جهمي، ومن قال غير مخلوق فهو مبتدع. إمام أحمد رحمه الله said, whosoever says my utterance of the Quran is created is a Jahmi. He's a Jahmite. And we dealt with the Jahmites earlier. And whosoever says it is uncreated, he's a Mubtadi'. And we will see why. He's an innovator. Whoever says that my recitation of the Quran, my utterance of the Quran is uncreated, he's actually an innovator. We will see why. فنقول اللفظ يطلق على معنيين، على المصدر الذي هو فعل الفاعل وعلى الملفوظ به. The term is used for two meanings. Either the infinitive, which is the one doing the action, and the thing which is being uttered, the actual words which are being spoken. أما على المعنى الأول الذي هو مصدر فلا شك أن ألفاظنا بالقرآن وغير القرآن مخلوقة. Now, according to the first understanding, no doubt, everything which we say with our tongues, whether the Quran or otherwise, is created. The things that we say, because our actions are created. In Surah As-Saffat, when Ibrahim was addressing the people, his father Azar and the rest of the idolaters, he told them, "Wallahu khalaqakum wa ma ta'malun." Allah created you and all that which you do. So the amal, the actions and the deeds of the people are part of Allah's creation. So when you speak, it's an action you're doing, it's a deed you're doing. In that sense, it is created. Okay. وأما لأننا إذا قلنا أن اللفظ هو تلفظ فهذا صوت خارج من حركة الفم واللسان والشفتين مخلوق. Because this is something that you do with your mouth and your tongue and you know you're using your vocals and that is created. أما إذا قصد باللفظ الملفوظ به فهذا منه مخلوق ومنه غير مخلوق. As for the thing which you say, now the act of saying, which requires movement and tongue involvement and what have you, this is created. As for what you say, then it could either be created or it could be uncreated. What would be uncreated? The Quran. And what would be created? Whatever we say. طيب. So فهذا تفصيل القول في هذه المسألة. إذا كان مفروض به هو القرآن فليس بمخلوق. So whenever you speak, whenever you recite the Quran, then that is not created. The Quran itself, not your actions. The Quran which you're reciting is at the end of the day the attributes of Allah. It's the speech of Allah. The speech of Allah is uncreated, even though it's coming from a created being. Jameel. لكن الإمام أحمد رحمه الله قال من قال لفظي بالقرآن مخلوق فهو جميع قال ذلك لأحد الاحتمالين. So why did Imam Ahmad رحمه الله say whoever says that my utterance of the Quran is created, whoever says that he's a Jahmite, why did he say that? There are two possibilities. إما أن هذا القول من شعار الجهمية كأن الإمام أحمد يقول إذا سمعت الرجل يقول لفظي بالقرآن مخلوق فعلم أنه جهمي. Either because this is from the ways and the innovations of the Jahmites. So when you see someone making a discussion about this, that my statement of the Quran is created or whatever, know that he's a Jahmi. The fact that he's going into this field. وَأَمَّا أَنْ يَكُونَ ذَلِكَ حِينَ يُرِيدُ الْقَائِلُ بِاللَّفْظِ الْمَلْفُوظِ بِهِ وَهَذَا أَقْرَبُ. Or it could be when he speaks about the actual thing he's saying, and he means the Jahmi. He means that what I'm saying is created, because the Jahmi doesn't believe that the Quran is the speech of Allah. The Jahmi, he does not believe that Quran is the speech of Allah. They believe that the Quran is created. You follow me? The Jahmites believe the Quran is created. So they play with words. So they say, my recitation of the Quran is created. And what they're really trying to say is that the Quran is created. You see why Imam Ahmad was closing the door? Once you see him say that, no, he's a Jahmi. Because he's trying to put the poison in the cake. He's trying to say a correct statement outwardly, but he's trying to actually, you know, subliminal messages and subliminal evil teachings within that correct sound. Like when Ali radiallahu anhu was dealing with the people and he's trying to make a judgment between them, they told him, إِنَ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. Judgment only belongs to Allah. You don't have the right to judge. So he said, كَلِمَةُ حَقُّ أُرِيدَ بِهَا بَاطِلٌ. This is a statement of truth, but evil and falsehood is intended behind it. Surely the judgment is for Allah, and the one who to whom judgment belongs made people judges. You see? So people will take a correct statement, and within that statement they try to mislead the people. And they claim that they quote in the Quran, and they quote in the Sunnah. You have to be very careful about these, you know, a'udhu billah, wicked ways of da'wah that people apply in this day and time. إذن وحينئذ يتضح معنى قول من قال لفظي بالقرآن مخلوق فهو جهمي. Now you know why Imam Ahmad said that. Because they're trying to indirectly say that the Quran is created, it is not the speech of Allah. And they say the evidence for that is, look, I'm speaking, I'm saying قل هو الله أحد, and I'm created, so that means the Quran is created. You see how they're playing games. طيب. لأنه أراد الملفوظ به ولا شك أن الذي يريد باللفظ هنا الملفوظ به جهمي. No doubt that whoever makes that intention is a جهمي. ولا شك أن الذي يريد باللفظ هنا الملفوظ به جهمي. أما من قال غير مخلوق فالإمام أحمد رحمه الله يكون مبتدع, لأن هذا ما عهد من السلف, وما كانوا يقولون مثل هذا القول, يقولون القرآن كلام الله فقط. بارك الله فيك. Still the shaitan will tell you, see if you can see through the actual, you know, that little opening, what kind of dates are there. I've learned my lesson, man. I know we're all human beings. This is a natural tendency and we have a shayateen going around. So we need to close the door. طيب. And Imam Ahmad said, okay, how come we're saying the one who says that is a mubtadi'? The one who says that my speech of the Quran, my recitation of the Quran is not created. Why do we say mubtadi'? Because this is not the way of the Salaf. What is the Salaf? Not a group, not the group which belong today, because among the followers of the group today, sometimes they're Ahli Hadith, sometimes they're Salafis, sometimes they're, I don't know, different names they have, you know, different areas of the world. Not everyone there really represents the way of the Salaf. You have some ignorant heads who don't even know, as they say, their elbow from their knee. Right? If they look at their elbow and their knee, they don't know which is which. Yet they go out there and they do the takfir on Imam Abu Hanifa. They just don't like Abu Hanifa anymore, rahimahullah. Once they've learned, you know, supposedly the way of the Sunnah, the biggest enemy became an imam from the imam of the Muslims. Type, you don't want to follow his fiqh madhab, I understand. But when people declare kufr against the imam, and he didn't even memorize, he doesn't even know jack, that's a very, very wild approach. And they do this in the name of the people of the way of the Salaf. And wallah, the way of the Salaf are innocent from that. The last thing that a person would do is declare kufr against a fasiq, a defiantly disobedient Muslim, let alone a alim from among the ulama of the Muslimin. Yani, very wild, very wild. So not everyone who carries that banner is legit. Even though we say, those who follow that way, the way of the Salaf, and the way of Al-Hadith, are the closest people to the truth. And they're the closest people to the Sunnah without a doubt. They're better than the other blind followers, they're better than the Sufis, they're better than the grave worshippers, they're better than the Belwari, whatever you call these people, and whatever you... They're better than all of these, combined, no doubt. But among them are ignorant people, are extremists, and are individuals whom you cannot take knowledge from. Because they themselves need to learn. And their whole deen becomes, be careful of this person and be careful of that person and don't listen to this and don't listen to that. And it's legit. You have to warn against deviant people, but there are also guidelines to do so. And you need to be in a position where your statements make a difference. Not, you know, not our whole deen doesn't become warning against others. We have to be very careful, because today we're living in strange times. So someone who wants to follow the truth really gets confused. Right? Everyone say tablighi, say come. Let's go on khuruj for 3 days, barakallah fiqh. You don't need to go to any group. You know, we don't want that either. I don't want to go on no khuruj. Where did that khuruj come from? The only khuruj we know is khuruj in Auda. You know? At the Jawazat. Or the khuruj against the hakim. The khuruj, the khawarij, those who went against the rulers. The Sahaba never had khuruj 3 days, 40 days, 4 months, whatever other, you know, things. We don't have that. We don't have someone sitting in the masjid, you know, remembering Allah, because with that remembrance of Allah, strength is given to those given da'wah, you know, and their gushd, whatever they call that thing. Well, this is bid'ah. Someone, I remember, because I used to go with them. Someone sits in the masjid, and his remembrance of Allah, like, make du'a. So Allah will give tawfiq, you know, to the people who are doing da'wah. Ishadis. Innovative practices. This is besides, you know, people who don't even know the most basic of the thing, giving you bayan. After the salah, someone stands up and he reads fadail amal and fadail sadaqat with fabricated narrations, lies, ash'ari aqidah, all kinds of calamities in these books. And he's, you know, hazrat madriyesh or hadrat madriyesh, take it easy, man. You yourself were not praying last week. Alhamdulillah, Allah guided you. Jazakum Allah khair. You invited him to the masjid, we appreciate it. Good, we don't deny that. But he can't speak yet. The brother has to learn. Did you teach him the deen? Or did you teach him only one thing? They don't have knowledge-based gatherings. This is known. It's all about da'wah. But before da'wah, there's knowledge. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرًا أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. Says that no one can dispute this ayah. Say, this is my way, the way of the Prophet ﷺ. I call to Allah upon knowledge, I and those who follow me. You have to have knowledge before you give da'wah. Yes, there are basic things of Amr Ma'ruf and Munkar everyone can do. But for you to address the people, and you know, and you don't have knowledge of narrations, authenticity or otherwise, meaning of the things, then we need to keep our, you know, so they go extremes. The point being, I'm saying this because many times people hear the word Salaf. And even in some of the lectures, I'm saying this because in the lectures I use the term, and the comments that the people leave say, you're a Salafi? Are you a Salafi? Because I heard you say the word Salaf. So it may cast some confusion among the people that I'm calling to a sect or to a group or whatever. So this explanation is, so when you hear me say the word Salaf, I mean our righteous predecessors. The Sahaba, the Tabi'in and the followers. I'm not speaking about any sect today. Because they may represent Al-Firqa Al-Najiyah and they may misrepresent Al-Firqa Al-Najiyah. You know what I'm saying? Right. إذن لأن هذا ما عهد من السلف. This عن السلف. This was not known of our righteous predecessors, for one of them to say my speech of the Quran is uncreated or created. It wasn't something they would say. وما كانوا يقولون مثل هذا القول. They never said that the Quran. They used to say the Quran كلام الله. Because in the ayah, وإن أحد من المشركين استجارك فأجره حتى يسمع كلام الله. And so give him protection until he hears كلام الله. This is in the Quran, so he can hear the speech of Allah. So the Salaf used to say Al-Quran كلام الله. خلاص. Created and created, these discussions did not come until philosophers came into the deen. Until philosophy was integrated into aqidah. And ever since then we've been dealing with the calamities of that, so much so that books like this had to be authored to refute these innovative philosophical understandings of the aqidah, even though at the time of our righteous predecessors and the Sahaba, it was simple stuff. They believed, they had yaqeen in Allah's speech, whatever Allah said, they affirmed it, whatever He denied, they denied it, whatever the Prophet ﷺ described Allah with, they accepted, according to the standards of the Arabic language, khalas. Afterwards people came, no, this doesn't mean this, and you cannot say Allah has a face, you cannot say Allah has hands, you cannot say, Allah says He has, ya akhi, Allah says, you know, yaday, my two hands, وَيَبْقَ وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ. Allah says He has a face, what are you going to tell Him, no? You know better than Allah. If Allah didn't want to use this meaning, He would have used another word, which would bring the meaning that you're claiming. He's using a word which the Arabs understood. And the Prophet ﷺ, the most knowledgeable of Allah, was among the most best students of knowledge. They never had such a discussion. No one said, oh Muslim Allah, does Allah really have a face? If they never had this discussion, what does that mean? They accepted as it is. And they knew that there's nothing like Allah. No image. They don't create, Allah is not like a human being. So they would try to think of a human being. They accepted the basic teachings. Later on, people, you know, got philosophical and Allah al-Musta'an. طيب قوله وأن هذا القرآن الذي أنزل على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم هو كلام الله حقيقة لا كلام غيره. And that the Quran which was sent down upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the speech of Allah. In truth, it is not the speech of others. It is not the speech of anyone else. كرر المؤلف رحمه الله هذا. The author repeated that statement even though he just made it earlier. لأن المقام مقام عظيم. Because this is a tremendous situation here. This is a very important fundamental principle in Islam. فإن هذه المسألة حصل فيها على علماء المسلمين من المحن ما هو معلوم. This issue here had caused such calamities and trials for the scholars in Islam, which is known to everyone. وهلك فيها أمم كثيرة. And many were destroyed because of this crucial teaching of Islam. ولكن حمى الله الحق بالإمام أحمد رحمه الله وأشباهه. But Allah protected the truth through Imam Ahmad rahimahullah and his likes. And when we say that, we are not undermining Al-Shafi'i or Imam Malik or Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. All of them are great imams, and each participated and gave to the ummah enough. Alhamdulillah. But in this particular fitna, because it was at the time of Imam Ahmad, it wasn't before, many of the scholars started to, you know, the Sultan, the ruler back then, started forcing the people. He forced the ulama, either you say that the Quran is created or you will be killed. And many of them started to say that, to protect themselves. And how would they say it? By playing with words. So they would say, yes, the Quran, the Torah and the Injil, these three are created. And he means at that point, these three things are created. The Quran, the Torah, the Injil, these three are created. And now his niyyah now is these three fingers. It's okay. At times of need, when you're in danger and you're being wronged, and you want to protect yourself, it's okay. But now, if everyone did that among the ulama, the general masses will be lost. So when the turn came to Imam Ahmad, he could have done what other ulama did, but he refused. He remained. And he was tortured. He was tortured because of his firmness. But Allah protected the aqidah through his sacrifice, so that the people were not lost. When they saw the Imam firm, even though his life is being risked, and he's consistent and persistent on saying the truth, then the people now, you know, because the people lose trust in the scholars. Once they see the scholars playing the games, they say, okay, now, who are we going to learn from? People are quick to undermine the efforts of the ulama. You know this, you know, in this day and time. So, subhanallah al-azim. Idhan, الذين أبوا أن يقولوا إلا أن القرآن كلام الله غير مخلوق. They refused except to say the truth. The Quran is the speech of Allah, is uncreated. It is uncreated. You don't like it? Hit the road. وقوله لا كلام غيره is not the speech of anyone else. خلافا لمن قال إن القرآن كلام جبريل ألهمه الله إياه أو من محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أو ما أشبه ذلك. Now he's saying it is not the speech of anyone else, trying to put an end or exterminate the possible claim, such as people saying the Quran is the speech of Jibreel, that Allah inspired to him, but it's Jibreel's choice of words. And others say it is that of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they quote evidences from the Quran. فإن قلت قال المؤلف رحمه الله لا كلام غيره معارض لقوله تعالى. If you say but it is not the speech of anyone else, it negates Quranic ayat. Allah says in Surah Al-Haqqa, إنه لقول رسول كريم وما هو بقول شاعر قليلا ما تؤمنون. Verily it is the speech of a noble, honorable messenger. It is not the speech of a poet. Little do you believe. Who is it referring to here? The speech of who here? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. إنه لقول. Verily this is the speech of a noble messenger. It is referring to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why the ayah said it is not the speech of a poet. Little do you understand. Little do you believe. In Surah At-Takwir, Allah also says إنه لقول رسول كريم ذو قوة عند ذي العرش مكين. This is the statement the speech of a noble messenger. Now, the owner of power and high rank was Allah. Who's that? Jibreel. This is Jibreel. So one time, it's قولوا رسول كريم, referring to the Prophet ﷺ. And the second time, it's referring to Jibreel alayhi salam. So they say, look, Allah saying that this is the speech of Jibreel and this is the speech of the Quran. فالجواب عن ذلك أن نقول لا يمكن أن نحمل آيتين على أن الرسولين تكلم به حقيقة وأنه صدر منهما لأن كلاما واحدا لا يمكن أن يصدر من متكلمين. سبحان الله. The fact that Allah, now if Allah had only mentioned this, the speech of Jibreel, without that of the Prophet ﷺ, it may have caused fitna. And if he mentioned that of the Prophet ﷺ only, without Jibreel, it can also lead to fitna. But Allah now mentioned both. Now can one speech be initiated by two people at the same time? Can one speech be the speech of two people? It's impossible. So that means that it did not come from them initially. They are the ones who conveyed it. Like for example, I can say to Muhammad, for example, that the classroom is air conditioned. And Muhammad can go and say to the other people, the classroom is air conditioned. And we can say that Muhammad, the speech of Muhammad is the classroom is air conditioned, but he's really conveyed it from me. And the fact that we refer to him does not necessitate that he's the originator, he's the initiator of the statement, he's simply conveying it. But we still say this is Muhammad's speech. But at the end of the day, if we go back to the asl, who is the first one to say it? We say, for example, it's Abu Mus'ab. Ala sabil mithal. Is that clear? No problem. The Shaykh will give more examples. I don't think this is complicated at all. إذن ولا يجوز إطلاق القول بأنه حكاية عن كلام الله أو عبارة. And it is impermissible to say unrestrictively that it is a parallel of Allah's speech or simply an expression of Allah's speech. We will see what that means. We cannot say that unrestrictively, meaning if there are some restrictions, we will say that under some restrictions. But unrestrictively, meaning without any restrictions, we do not say that. We will see why. طيب. لا يجوز إطلاق القول ولم يقل لا يجوز القول. He didn't say it is not permissible to say. He added unrestrictively. يعني لا يجوز أن نقول هذا القرآن عبارة عن كلام الله. It is not permissible to say this Quran is an expression, for example, of Allah's speech. Let's say he's used the term عبارة for now. We'll just use عبارة until the Sheikh defines it. إطلاقا unrestrictively. ولا يجوز أن نقول إنه حكاية عن كلام الله على سبيل الإطلاق. Nor can we say that it is a parallel of Allah's speech unrestrictively also. والذين قالوا إنه حكاية هم الكلابية. There is a group of deviants, كلابية, sounds reminds you of a كلاب, who said or كلابية, الله أعلم about the right pronunciation. Those who say that it is a حكاية, it is like a parallel of the speech of Allah. We will see what that means. Or al-kallabiyya, wallahu alam. وَالَّذِينَ قَالُوا الْعِبَارَةِ. Those who say that it's an expression are al-ash'ariyya. We know the ash'ariyya, the ash'arites. وَالْكُلُّ اتَّفَقُوا عَلَىٰ أَنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ الَّذِي فِي الْمُصْحَفِ لَيْسَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ. Now both of them agree that the Quran which we have, the Quran which we have in this Mus'haf is not the speech of Allah. They agree that it is not the speech of Allah. بل هو إما حكاية أو عبارة. They say it's either a parallel or an expression. والفرق بينهما. What is the difference between these two? أن الحكاية المماثلة يعني كأن هذا المعنى الذي هو الكلام عندهم حكية بمرآة. What it means that this meaning, which is the speech here, is like it's like reflected by a mirror. It is reflected, but it's not the real thing. Like you are the real thing. And when you look in the mirror, are you seeing really you? And it's you, but it's a reflection. So they say it's a reflection of the Quran, the speech of Allah. It's not the speech of Allah, it's a reflection of it. كما يحكي الصدى كلام المتكلم. The same way the echo reverberates the person's speech. Near the echo, you hear it. You know, especially if you're in a place where there's echo, you hear the repetition of your sound. أما العبارة فيعني بها أن المتكلم عبر عن كلامه النفسي بحروف وأصوات خلقت. And as for عبارة, it means that the speaker expressed his inner يعني thoughts through letters and sounds which are created. يعني they say the idea, the concepts of the Quran are uncreated because they're from Allah. But the actual words and letters that make up the words and the sounds you hear are created. Get me? They say the letters and the sounds are the created element. Okay? But that's not right. Everything, the sound and the letters and the thoughts and the meaning and everything is uncreated. This is the difference between us and them. فَلَا يَجُوزْ أَن نُطْلِقَ أَنَّهُ حِكَايَةٌ وَعِبَارَةٌ. It is impermissible to say unrestrictively that it is either a parallel or an expression of that kind. لكن عند التفصيل. But when we elaborate, we make it that restriction. قد يجوز أن نقول إن القارئ الآن يعبر عن كلام الله أو يحكي كلام الله. We may say that the reader right now is really, يعني he's expressing the speech of Allah or given the parallel of the speech of Allah. Because when you're reading it, you're not doing the same thing. يعني you're not really getting the speech of Allah Himself, because Allah said the Quran with sound. When you read it, your recitation may be no good. Your recitation may be no good, your voice, whatever, all these elements. So we can say, if that is what it is, that yes, you're actually expressing the actual speech of Allah, which is uncreated, but what you're doing is in a sense with this restriction, but not unrestrictively. على كل حال. لأن لفظه بالقرآن ليس هو كلام الله. Your statement, your recitation of the Quran is not the speech of Allah. In this sense, what you're reading in the speech of Allah, your action is not, is created. وهذا القول على هذا التقييد لا بأس به. This statement with this restriction, there's no harm in it. لكن إطلاق أن القرآن عبارة وحكاية عن كلام الله لا يجوز. But to say unrestrictively that the Quran is simply an expression or a parallel of Allah's speech is impermissible. وكان المؤلف رحمه الله دقيقا في العبارة حيث قال لا يجوز إطلاق القول بل لا بد من التقييد والتعيين. And the author was very particular in his choice of words, where he said unrestrictively. He didn't say all the way. He was very particular about the choice, meaning if there are restrictions you may say that, but to say it all the way across the board, no. طيب قوله بل إذا قرأه الناس أو كتبوه في المصاحف لم يخرج بذلك عن أن يكون كلام الله تعالى حقيقة. Rather, if the people recite it or they write it in the Mus'haf, that does not make it anything other than Allah's speech and truth. The fact that that is done does not undermine, does not take away the fact that it is the speech of Allah in truth. فإن الكلام إنما يضاف حقيقة إلى من قاله مبتدئا. Speech in reality is usually is referred to the one who initiated the speech, the one who said it first. لا إلى من قاله مبلغا مؤديا. Not the one who has conveyed it and delivered it. So when you want to refer to the original speech, then you must refer to the original speaker. Those conveying that speech to you, you cannot refer that speech as their own, because they didn't initiate it, the speech, they conveyed it to you. The one who possesses the speech is the speaker. Allah is the one who possesses that speech, and He's uncreated, so then the Quran and the speech of Allah is uncreated. You see the way, the logic behind it? Jameel. يعني مهما كتبه الناس في المصاحف أو حفظوه في صدورهم أو قرأوه بألسنتهم فإنه لا يخرج عن كونه كلام الله. No matter what, whether the people write it in the mushaf, memorize it in their chests, or read it with their tongues, it does not take away from the fact that it is the speech of Allah تبارك وتعالى. ثم علل ذلك فقال فإن الكلام إنما يضاف حقيقة إلى من قاله مبتدئا. And he explained why, because speech is usually really referred to the one who begins and initiates that speech. وهذا تعليل واضح. This is a very logical, clear explanation. فالكلام يضاف حقيقة إلى من قاله مبتدئا إما إضافته إلى من قاله أما إضافته إلى من قاله مبلغا مؤديا فعلى سبيل التوسع, as to refer to the one who's conveyed it, then this is being easygoing, being kind of lenient. But if you want to be particular, then the speech is truly the speech of the speaker, and not the one conveying. And then he quoted some verses from poetry, which are referred to Ibn Qayyim, another one referred to Imam Malik. And the truth is that you, even though we're saying them right now, the original speaker is Imam Malik and Ibn Qayyim. It is not ourselves. For now, my speech is, I'm coming up with it right now. I'm not conveying it from anyone else. At least what I'm saying now, not the translation. Even the translation, it's my own translation, right or wrong. On the other hand, when I quote someone, I cite someone's speech. Now, in this case, even though I'm still conveying it to you, who's the original speaker? Not myself, the one who said it first. I mean, it's very basic. It doesn't take all this explanation. Alhamdulillah. فالقرآن كلام من من تكلم به أولا. The Quran then is the speech of the one who spoke first, the one who said it first. وهو الله تعالى, it is Allah عز وجل. لا كلام من بلغ لغير, it is not the speech of the one who conveyed it to others, in this ultimate sense of course. قوله وهو كلام الله حروفه معانيه, it is the speech of Allah, letters and meanings, letters and meanings. هذا مذهب أهل السنة والجماعة. This is the methodology, this is the way, this is the choice of the people of Sunnah and the Jama'ah. قالوا إن الله تعالى تكلم بالقرآن بحروفه ومعاني. They say Allah spoke, said the Quran, both in letters and in meanings. Both were there. قوله وليس كلام الله الحروف دون المعاني. And it is not Allah's speech wherein there are letters without the meaning. And we will see later, and neither is it is the meaning without the letters. Because you have two extreme groups. Those who affirm the letters, take away the meaning, and those who affirm the meaning and they deny the letters. They deny the sound of the Quran, the fact that Allah Azza wa Jalla said it in letter. وَهَذَا مَذْهَبُ الْمُعْتَزِلَ وَالْجَهْمِيَةِ. Now the first one, those who affirm the letters without the meaning, this is the way of the Mu'tazilites and the Jahmites. لأنهم يقولون إن الكلام ليس معنى يقوم بذات الله. They say the speech is not an independent entity in Allah, بل هو شيء من مخلوقاته. It is something of Allah's creation. The speech, they say, is part of Allah's creation. كالسماء والأرض والناقة والبيت وما شبه ذلك. Like the heavens and the earth and the camel and the house and what have you. فليس معنى قائما في نفسه. It is not an independent entity in and of itself. فكلام الله حروفا خلق الله. So they say the speech of Allah are letters which Allah created. The speech of Allah are letters which Allah created, they say. وسماها كلاما. And Allah called it his speech. عجيب يا أخي, these people. They say Allah called it كلام الله. They said no, Allah created letters which he created. He created them, then he called them my speech. He called them the speech of Allah. كما خلق الناقة وسماها ناقة الله. Look at the example they gave. They say, well, Allah created the camel, and he called it the camel of Allah. فقال لهم, قال لهم رسول الله ناقة الله وسقياها. The messenger said to them, the camel of Allah. And we say, بيت الله, the house of Allah. صح؟ خالد بن الوليد سيف الله, حمزة أسد الله, the lion of Allah, the sword of Allah, and the camel of Allah, and عيسى روح الله. طيب, so كلمة الله إلى آخره من الأشياء. So but what is the, how do ulama understand this? This is honor. These things are used because Allah wants to honor these things. They have a special virtue in Allah's sight, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that they are, you know, in this sense. على كل حال. So they say, وسماها أيوة. فكلام الله حروف خلق الله وسماها كلام الله كما خلق الناقة وسماها ناقة الله إلى آخره. This is the explanation. ولهذا كان الكلام عند الجميع والمعتزلة هو الحروف. So they say speech is nothing but letters. لأن كلام الله عندهم عبارة عن حروف وأصوات خلق الله عز وجل ونسب إليه تشريفا وتعظيما. So they say, look, the speech as in the sounds which are made up of letters are the creation of Allah, and He referred them to Himself the same way He referred the house to Himself and the camel to Himself. Look at the philosophy now. يعني way far, far away from the sound understanding, but this is their shubha, this is their doubt. وقوله ولا المعاني دون الحروف. On the other hand, it is neither the meaning without the letters. وهذا مذهب الكلابية والأشعرية. This is the madhab of the Kalbites and the Ash'arites. فكلامه كلام الله عندهم معنى في نفسه. They say the Quran, the كلام الله, the speech of Allah is in meaning. It's only a meaning. ثم خلق أصواتا وحروفا تدل على هذا المعنى. The important thing is the meaning. Then Allah created letters and sound which reflect that meaning. Which reflect that meaning. Meaning that the things are not the speech of Allah. The Quran itself is not the speech of Allah. But it is a created entity which reflects the meaning which Allah intended. Ajeeb. شيء عجيب. إما عبارة أو حكاية. As we mentioned earlier. It's either a parallel, like a mirror, or an expression. It is not the thing itself. وَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ أَبْنَ الْقَيِّمْ رَحِمَ اللَّهِ ذَكَرَ أَنَّنَا إِذَا أَنْكَرْنَا أَنَّ اللَّهِ يَتَكَلَّمْ فَقَدْ أَبْطَلْنَا الشَّرْعِ وَالْقَدَرِ. Know that Ibn al-Qayyim رحمه الله said that if we deny that Allah speaks, then we are denying and voiding the law and the preordainment. Law, the legal teachings and preordainment. أَمَّا الشَّرْعِ. Why? Why the legal is denied and voided? فَلِأَنَّ الرِّسَالَاتِ invalidated. Let me say. لِأَنَّ الرِّسَالَاتِ إِنَّمَا جَاءَتْ بِالْوَحِي. The messages were only conveyed through revelation, inspiration. وَالْوَحِي كَلَامٌ مُبَلَّغٌ إِلَى الْمُرْسَلِ إِلَيْهِ. Revelation is speech which is conveyed to the one who has been sent. To the one who has been sent. The one who the message has been delivered to, the object. Let's call it the object. مفعول به. فإذا نفينا الكلام انتفى الوحي. If you deny speech, you've denied revelation. وإذا انتفى الوحي انتفى الشرع. If you deny revelation, we don't have laws anymore. We don't have the legal law anymore. So it's the concept of if A is equal to B and B is equal to C, then A is equal to C. If you deny this, then you're denying that. If you deny that, then you deny that, then you're denying everything. Because the only way the messenger receives revelation is through receives the message is through revelation, and revelation is speech. If you deny speech, you deny revelation, you deny everything. Khalas, we're selling tomatoes down the street for 8 riyals a kilo. It went down a little bit, alhamdulillah. It was 10 riyals a few weeks ago. Amma al-qadar, as for preordainment, فلأن الخلق يقع بأمره. Because the creation happens and takes place by Allah's command. بقوله كن فيكون. صح؟ كما قال تعالى إنما أمره إذا أراد شيئا أن يقول له كن فيكون. سبحان الله. Really his affair is of such that when he wants, he wills something, he says would be and it is. So if they deny that Allah says be to something and it is, then they deny Allah's creation. We don't have anything anymore. فإنما يقول له. Allah will say to it كن فيكون. They speak to anyone, say قول قال. We know what it means. سبحان الله العظيم. عجيب. And that concludes that. This is the refutation. Okay? The speech of Allah is in truth, letters, sounds, and meaning. It is the attribute of Allah. Allah is uncreated, so are all of His attributes. They are uncreated, and that's the bottom line of the situation. Next week, inshallah, we will be dealing with the chapter on the belief in the believer seeing Allah on the Day of Judgment or Day of Resurrection, and ومواضع الرؤية, and the various stages wherein they will see Allah, because we have more than one. We have more than one. يوم القيامة في الجنة إلى آخره. So we will deal with those inshallah with some elaboration, and then we will move on to the belief in the last day and the fitna of the people and the qubur and the death and the graveyards and all kinds of stuff. Alhamdulillah, it's going to get very interesting, because now some of the things we're doing now are a little bit redundant, because we've dealt with them already before. But what will come afterwards inshallah will be brand new things. Al-Qiyamah, and what is Qiyamah, the signs of the Day of Judgment, a lot of interesting stuff in the life in the coming weeks if we all remain alive and healthy. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.